What hour is this? Mr. Governor, I'll give you a hint. How big a funeral can you run?
Car funeral.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Now we're cooking with gas. It's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. By the way, coming up right after 1:30, Brandy Cruz is going to spend an entire half hour with us. I goofed up last week. I signed off after one segment, Nicole, and Brandy's been pushing to do two segments like Dave Wyman does with us.
Right.
And we love Brandy, so of course we want to do that.
Of course.
So we'll do two segments with her today, and I think everybody will be happy. That's what I'm guessing. Boy, Dave Wyman's texting me from Munich, Germany, as we speak. He's there for that Seahawk game against Tampa Bay. You know, Tampa Bay's favored against the Seahawks on Sunday. Tampa Bay's 4-5. Seahawks seem to be the hottest team at 6-3. And Tampa Bay's favored.
Well, they had a good week last week, right? So maybe that was why.
Who had a good week?
Tampa Bay. Or maybe 2 weeks ago. Or was it last week?
I don't know. I don't pay attention to that stuff anymore.
But yeah, I did see our friend, our Twitter buddy, Matt Gilbert, is there with a flat dory. And so I've seen pictures of you, of Flat Dory, in front of all the sites there. And including this morning, he sent me a photo of Flat Dory in front of Michael Bumpus and Dave Myman broadcasting live.
Oh, man. Well, and you diminish Matt by calling him our Twitter buddy.
I mean, that's just
He saved my career.
That's true.
When everybody, when the hounds were out and everybody was trying to get me fired, Matt Gilbert starts a little listener Facebook page, and it took us, like 7-8 years to get 20,000 to 25,000 Facebook followers. And in like 4 days, Matt does a Save Dory Monson Facebook page, and he gets 30,000 people in 4 days. And
30,000? Was it 30,000?
It was 30,000. listeners were awesome.
And I mean, that page is still on fire.
Is it? I need to check it out.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
And then our sponsors were awesome. Our sponsors were unbelievable.
Okay, there's 10,000 people, but it's okay. No, there was 10 or 30.
There was 30 at one point. This must be some offshoot.
No. Really?
I'm telling you.
Okay.
Telling you right now.
I believe you. I believe you. Something had 30.
Okay. Something did. All right, let's get into the fastest 15 here, for crying out loud. This is going to be interesting, this whole Donald Trump, Ron DeSantis, who's going to be the nominee, because there are more and more Republicans who believe that after his showing on Tuesday night, Ron DeSantis, he won the Florida governor's race by 20 points over a guy who used to be the governor of Florida. So it was just a complete blowout. Personally, I think DeSantis is fantastic. I like everything about him. I think Trump was a terrific president with all the policies. He tweeted too much. But for me, if Trump were to get back into the White House in 2024, I just think it would be fun to watch the haters go insane. And they would.
Okay.
They would go insane. That would be kind of fun. And he's much better president than I anticipated. And then you get Trump for 4 years, then you get DeSantis for 8.
I agree. It was fun in the beginning, the meltdown. However, it turned into this thing that has gone nuts where, I mean, it's out of control. The hatred and the vitriol and the, the willingness to lie, steal, or cheat to get around him or something. I don't know. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
I just watching my friends, like Facebook friends, Twitter friends, whatever. But there is the left vitriol after, you know, Smiley losing and things. It's never like that, except for when Republicans lose. Wow.
Oh, I got so many messages from people who are saying, I bet you're crushed. Yeah, that's why I said yesterday at the beginning of the show, I don't let political elections affect my perspective on life. My life is unbelievably blessed. My marriage, my friends like you, my daughters, I have a job I love. What more? How could I say, oh, and some people voted differently than I did, so now I'm going to be depressed? That's stupid. The people who are trying to gloat on Tuesday night, their lives are guided by that. And I find that very, very sad.
After Trump won, I mean, I remember walking in this building and the mood changed, right? The mood changed. But nobody who was maybe leaning to the right came in like, woohoo, Trump won. You guys suck. Like, there was none of that. But I'm telling you, when Smiley lost, the mood in not this building, I'm not accusing anybody here of that, but just the mood everywhere was like the teacher at Ingram.
Yeah,
there was lots of F's out there.
Yeah, I know. It's a very strange thing. I don't like politics. I talk about politics a lot because it's a gigantic part of our lives and what is a controlling force in our lives. By the way, I really hope everybody can tune in to the big lead at 2:00 because our kids, more than ever, are being trained to believe that lies are truth. And this is one of the most important issues of our time. And I'm going to go through why this is happening and what the effects of it are. But I think we have some really provocative stuff for you less than an hour from now. The big lead at 2:00. It's very interesting that kids are now being taught in school that lies are absolute truths. And that is a huge part of what Nicole's just talking about, that as long as we can teach people that reality is no longer reality, they're much easier to control. If you can convince a child that a man can have a baby, well, then you can convince that child of absolutely anything, because a man cannot have a baby. If to have a baby, you have to have a uterus. To have a uterus, you have to be a woman. Therefore, you have to be a woman to have a baby. But kids have been taught that reality no longer is reality. And that is when you can control people's minds at an unbelievable level. So anyway, I hope everybody tunes in. Big lead at 2:00. We're going to have a lot of stuff on that. Okay, back to the whole Trump-DeSantis thing. Now, here's a huge problem with Trump. Is his ego is so gigantic and so fragile. So now Ron DeSantis is getting all of the attention. And there are a lot of people on, you know, Fox News networks that supported Trump. And they're thinking, okay, we got to jump onto the good ship DeSantis now for the next 2 years. And Donald Trump, he just can't help himself. He, in a speech a few days ago, he called DeSantis Ron DeSanctimonious. And then on social media last night, Trump sent out this. This is on that Truth social media. Trump posted, "Now that the election in Florida is over and everything went quite well, shouldn't it be said that in 2020 I got 1.1 million more votes in Florida than Ron DeSantis got this year, 5.7 million to 4.6 million? Just asking." Well, that's a stupid comparison because people vote in much greater numbers in presidential years than they do in the off years, the other 2 years. And so, no, it means nothing that Donald Trump got more votes than Ron DeSantis. And that's going to be Trump's undoing, because I think Trump would be fine as president again. I think DeSantis is going to be a great president. And it's just a matter of it's going to be in 2 years or in 6 years. But DeSantis is going to be a fantastic president of the United States. But if Trump starts taking shots at DeSantis, everybody on the right is going to get sick and tired of it. And I'm sick of it. I know there are a lot of people who are saying that there's just no justifying posts like the ones Trump made last night, the calling them Ron DeSanctimonious. There is no justifying that. And if Trump focused on what he did policy-wise, it's still a winning hand. But because inflation was very low and jobs, unemployment was fantastic. And, you know, Biden's trying to say unemployment's great now, too. But Trump going after DeSantis is going to be Trump's final undoing. I'm convinced of that because the Republicans will defend him going after Democrats. They will not defend him going against DeSantis because almost everybody who's a Republican loves Ron DeSantis. So we'll see how this goes, but it's going to get worse before it gets better. I know that. And then you have in the media a bunch of geniuses, like at MSNBC, John Fetterman, a man who is brain damaged from the stroke that he had almost 6 months ago, got elected to the United States Senate. It is absolutely baffling to me. But even more baffling on MSNBC host Katie Tour, she says this is just the beginning for John Fetterman.
Fetterman as a nominee at some point for president. I know there's some variables, obviously. But just a few. But I just, you know, what he did in the super red, deep red parts of Pennsylvania and the way that he ran ahead of Biden, as you were saying, ran ahead of Trump. I mean, it makes you wonder about his future.
John Fetterman for president is the new idea that MSNBC has. I mean, it's just... that I can see why they would like someone like John Fetterman in his current state. It's they have some cognitive issues as well. And then also on MSNBC, they have an idea for a great presidential ticket.
Well, what about if we pair up Liz Cheney and Stacey Abrams and actually start talking about universal voting and election reform? I could see them doing kind of a czar thing with the administration that's completely bipartisan. That would be exciting.
Yes, let's get Liz Cheney, a Republican who's hated by Republicans, and Stacey Abrams, who cannot win any election. Let's get them together on a presidential ticket. That would be boffo, wouldn't it? All right, in the world of entertainment, there are few comedians working today funnier than Dave Chappelle. I would say Chris Rock doesn't do enough stuff anymore. So for me... my favorite comedians are Dave Chappelle and Ricky Gervais. Just brilliant. Both of them brilliant. Quite different, but alike in many ways as well. Well, Dave Chappelle, as you know, he's got this. And did you bump up some Dave Chappelle for us here?
You know, everything I have is kind of just him talking. It's not really comedy.
I thought we had a cut from his comedy special. Where he was talking about...
Yeah, it was the naming the school, so it's not really funny.
But... No, no. For the one before that, the one that caused all the controversy, when he did the Netflix special and talked about transgender
people.
Oh,
yeah, I can give you that one.
Yeah, okay, bump that up. The reason I'm talking about this is Dave Chappelle is hosting Saturday Night Live coming up, and according to the New York Post, the white... comedy writers at Saturday Night Live and the top three comedy writers at the show are all white. They are going to boycott the program this weekend because Dave Chappelle is the host. What insane intolerance that is. But they said that because they consider his jokes transphobic. And here is Dave Chappelle talking in his Netflix special about a transgender friend of his.
When Sticks and Stones came out, a lot of people in the trans community were furious with me. And the hardest thing for a person to do is go against their tribe. But Daphne did that for me. And when she did that, the trans community dragged that all over Twitter. But 6 days after that wonderful night I described to you, my friend Daphne killed herself. I don't know if it was them dragging her. I don't know what's going on in her life, but I bet dragging her didn't help.
So he had befriended a stand-up comedian who was transgender, and because she opened for him, the trans community just went after his trans friend. And now Dave Chappelle is going to be on Saturday Night Live, and there is one report that the top three writers at the show are boycotting it this weekend, but reportedly all of the cast members are going to still work this Saturday's episode. But the writers, they have to show everybody just how woke they are. Quite a stand that they are making. All right. And then finally, as you know, I don't like giving my opinion on this show. I like just being a down-the-middle news commentator. But occasionally, there is a story so shocking that I think it demands some opinion. We like to call this segment...
Now it's time for news and comment, where we go beyond the headlines and bring you perspective and analysis of today's biggest news stories. First, the news.
56-year-old Henry Eugene Hodges, he is on death row for being a triple murderer. According to his attorney, he had asked the prison to give him a special diet, a special food package, between now and whenever he's put to death. The prison refused to give him his own special meal. And so, reportedly, Henry Eugene Hodges, he broke a glass and he hacked his penis off with broken glass and a razor blade. Wait a second. That was the news.
And now, the comment.
That'll teach him to withhold special food packages from triple murderer Henry Eugene Hodges.
This has been News and Comment. The views expressed in News and Comment are those of Dory Monson and do not necessarily reflect the views of Cairo Radio.
I can almost guarantee they don't reflect the views of Cairo Radio. Okay, quick time out, and then Brandi Cruz is going to join us for a couple of segments coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show.
You've been talking in your sleep, and it's been going on for weeks, and I've been solving puzzle pieces. High time to come to Jesus. You got skeletons in your closet.
All right, here we go. Thursday afternoon. That is when Brandi Cruz joins us for her weekly visit. She's been a very busy person. She's been covering this election and a lot of other stuff. Good afternoon, Brandi. Good to talk to you.
Hello. Busy week indeed.
Yeah, in fact, I got to see you on Tuesday night. You did an hour in studio with John Curley right before I jumped in there for a couple of hours on election night. How about that, covering a historic midterm election like this?
Well, and with Dory Monson, Dave Ross, and John Curley, no less. And so it was nice to just see everybody's faces, but it was like good old times back in the day.
Yes, it sure is. How shocked were you by, I mean, let's start national, because there were all these predictions of a red wave, a red tsunami. It looks like just barely a red tide is coming in. So how shocked were you by what went down?
Really surprised. I mean, I have tried to condition myself not to think too much about polling. But, you know, there was a lot of consistency in polling. And I'll give Tiffany Smiley as an example. I mean, I know we're talking nationally, but she was running a race for Senate. You know, the polling in Tiffany Smiley v. Patty Murray, it was such a slow and steady climb where Tiffany Smiley seemed to be closing the gap really consistently over the weeks that I thought, OK, that rings true to me, because it's not all up and down. It's not a roller coaster. It's a slow, steady climb. And so then to see her behind by double digits is really stunning to me. And yeah, I mean, for people who I think I just, maybe I live in an echo chamber that I don't realize, because I just can't imagine how crime and the economy would not rule the day as opposed to this Democratic narrative about, you know, democracy at stake, et cetera.
Yeah, and so that brings us to local. First of all, I think the polling industry is becoming wholly discredited, you know, going back to 2016. But usually the surprise was on the side of Republicans. There were, you know, all these people who wouldn't say that they were supporting Donald Trump, but then they went in and voted for him in 2016. So now to have it skewed so far in favor of Republicans, and then the left provides the surprise, there are just some real flaws with the whole polling industry, and you know, with advanced science and statistical analysis and all of that, it should be getting better, but that whole industry seems to be getting worse to me.
Yeah, and it seems like they need to do some sort of overhaul to account for all of this. I'm sure as an industry since 2016, it's something that they've been looking at and looking into. But they're not getting whatever they're doing to reach people. It's not an accurate reflection of the electorate. And I think that we have enough examples of that now to prove it. And so I don't know, you know, I'm kind of curious for 2024. Do people fundamentally change how they look at or how they use polling? And I think the media as well, you know, the media tends to put a poll out there and be like, you know, this is the gospel. And I think that that's, the media is going to have to get away from that until the polls can have enough instances where they're correct to sort of show, hey, here's what we've done to change and to be more accurate.
Do you ever talk to pollsters? Because, you know, Dave Ross asked me that on Tuesday night, and I have never once in my life talked to a pollster, and especially now, because if I get a phone call and the caller isn't in my contact list, I don't answer the phone. And so I never have talked to a pollster in my life. Have you?
Well, so not on the phone, because my iPhone, like many people, it will just silence it automatically because it'll deem it spam. But one of the things I did get a lot of this time around were texts. Some of them were push pulls designed to manipulate my mind. And I took two of those just for fun and screwed with them.
Yeah.
But I did do one survey that was sent to me via text message after I looked into the company that text and the link to make sure it wasn't like a scam and I was clicking on something I shouldn't click on. And I took a survey via text, and I'm fine doing that, but I've never spoken to a pollster on the phone. No.
Yeah. And I don't respond to the text either, because I've convinced myself that if I do, then 2 days later, somebody in Nigeria is going to have the title to my house. That's going to be some kind of elaborate scam. So I don't even answer those. Okay. Some of the games that were played leading up to this, Tina Podlodowski and Jay Inslee. They contacted Jason Rance and me. Tina Podlodowski has never come on my show over the years, the Democrat Party chair. And she wants to come on Monday. And they had recorded this hostage video telling people to not vote for the write-in candidate who's the most horrible person. And the reason they contacted my show is they thought my listeners hate Tina Podlodowski and Jay Inslee so much that they'd say, oh, they hate this write-in guy, I'm going to vote for him. It was such an amateurish production by them. I couldn't believe it. And you're the one who, ahead of it, you said, man, this is just unbelievable what they're trying to pull off.
Well, because I knew. So right when they posted the video, I had sent it out on Twitter laughing, because I was like, wow, this is so transparent. I hope no one falls for it, which I worry, you know, some people saw it out of context and did. But and then I kept getting messages from others. So they, you know, she'd reached out to three quote unquote conservative hosts in town thinking that she could pull over the same trick on them, and to watch it fail such miserable fashion. I will tell you, Dory, your interview with her, I was laughing at the end of it. I mean, we all agree that she didn't, she could hear you just fine, right? We all agree. Yeah. She hung up on you.
Yeah, yeah. Here's just a little clip of how that call ended.
And that's why it's so important for folks to be able to do this work and make certain. Sorry.
What was misrepresented about Clyde Shavers?
Sorry. Okay.
Just tell me what was misrepresented about Clyde Shavers.
Hello?
Can you hear me, Tina?
Hello?
Can you hear me? Dina?
So, yeah, you can tell. She could hear everything I said because she heard the question. She heard me challenging, saying, well, what was misrepresented? She heard everything. And then when she decided she didn't want to talk anymore, she does that. Hello? I can't hear you. It was like an SNL skit all of a sudden.
It's like, yeah, those commercials where you'd take an empty candy wrapper and you just crinkle it. I'm breaking up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on, Brandy. We got a lot of other stuff to talk about. Brandy Cruz, you can see her work at patreon.com/undivided. And we will continue the conversation with Brandy in just a moment here on the Dory Monson Show.
You've been talking in your sleep.
All right, back with Brandy Cruz, independent journalist. You can see her work at patreon.com/undivided. Okay, so right before we broke, Brandy, we were talking about how Jay Inslee and Tina Podlodowski, their amateurish attempt to influence the Secretary of State race. But it does turn out that the write-in candidate took enough votes, if he took all of them from Julie Anderson, the write-in candidate may have flipped that race.
Yeah, and I don't believe this has been called yet, right? I think we'll have a really good idea around 4 p.m. today as to whether Julie Anderson was able to make up lay ground in, you know, Snohomish and Pierce County. But I just did the math, and right now the write-in candidate, which we're assuming most of those are Brad Klippert, has 65,000 votes. Well, Julie Anderson trails by 53,000. So, you know, and it's hard to know whether Jay Inslee and Tina Podlodowski's little tricks fooled anybody or whether, you know, Brad Klippert's writing campaign was able to garner 65,000 votes. It's probably more likely. But I said from the beginning, I like Brad Klippert, but it was a silly thing to do. It was unwinnable. And ultimately, it's just Republicans gifting Democrats this seat that they've wanted for years.
Yeah. And what we have learned is, and I've been doing a ton of research on this, starting in 2018, the Democrat Party nationwide, they decided that if they wanted to win elections, they had to control Secretary of State races because then they can control the rules that every state's election plays by, and then they can game those rules to maximum advantage. And it's been a smart strategy. Some think it's very sleazy, but it's, you know, winning is everything in politics. The other one, I just can't believe, Brandy, given that crime seemingly is the number one issue around here, along with the economy, is the King County prosecutor. I thought that was the most important race on this ballot. I thought that there was no way the voters were going to go for the clearly soft on crime. Let's find other ways to punish people other than putting them in jail. Lisa Mannion, who is supported by, you know, singer John Legend and all the people who support the soft on crime prosecutors in San Francisco and L.A. and Philadelphia. That's who was supporting Lisa Mannion, and she is winning it. It's unbelievable to me, Brandy.
And winning it by quite a bit. And I'm stunned by that, too. And honestly, I'm pretty bummed by it. You know, Jim Farrell, having had many conversations with him, by the way, before campaigning started, you know, he was very outspoken about concerns over the direction of the state, over policy in Olympia, over public safety. And that's why he got into the race, specifically because of, you know, the direction they were going with juvenile offenders, just sort of sending them all on their way, as opposed to people who'd done really serious things, even if they were young. And I just don't, I do not know how to account for this, how to account for such a deficit on the part of Jim Farrell, and what worked for voters, what didn't, or if maybe voters just didn't know either of them and they didn't have the right name recognition, so they just picked one at random. I mean, I think today Jim will close the gap a little bit, but I don't see it being possible for him to win at this point.
And in trying to explain it, I'm just very distrustful. And when you have Jay Inslee and Tina Podlodowski doing a skit to try to influence the Secretary of State's race, when you have Dow Constantine somehow getting the voters to say they don't want to have any say over the sheriff, so now you have a sheriff who is just another political department in the King County machine of Dow Constantine, and now they have ensured that the soft-on-crime prosecutor candidate is going through. I just think that King County has completely lost its way politically. If it's all legit, and I don't want to be any election denier here, but through what might be legitimate, legal, but still sleazy methods, I think that they are manipulating things so that you have just a couple of people in the county who have complete control over everything, and being soft on crime is one of their pet causes for whatever reason.
And I think one of the things, so, you know, having gotten many mailers for this race, one of the things that Lisa Manion's campaign and PAC spending money on her behalf did is paint him as a Republican. You know, Jim Farrell was a Republican until 2012, and then he switched parties. This is a nonpartisan race. And I get that even in nonpartisan races, politics is going to come up. You know, it happened in the Seattle City Attorney race with Ann Davison as a Republican. But so, you know, they spent all this time and money painting him as a Republican, which in King County, it's almost impossible for Republicans to win. But then I go back to the Seattle City Attorney race. I go back to the fact that Ann Davison won as a Republican in the city of Seattle. And so I wonder, well, gosh, if Ann was able to do it, crime is way even worse than when she got elected by Seattleites. And I thought surely King County, which has a broader voting base, would push Jim Farrell through. But maybe it was the salacious nature of Ann Davison's opponent, Nicole Thomas Kennedy, who hated cops, called him KKK, celebrated arson, that really doomed that campaign. And you just didn't have the same salacious nature in the King County prosecutor's race.
Yeah, the whole thing's very stinky to me. Well, and, you know, let's go back to that clip where Tina Podlodowski hung up on me that we played in the last segment. That was over this Democrat House candidate named Clyde Shavers, who claimed to be a Navy submarine officer, who claimed to be a lawyer, who claimed to have grown up homeless, who claimed to have grown up in a farming family. And then his father, the week before, said essentially that his son is a pathological liar. And the Democrats stood by this guy. He's up by 2,000 votes. Last time I checked, he's representing Whidbey Island, where the Naval Air Station is. And I thought the stolen valor of claiming to be a Navy submarine officer when it was a lie, I thought maybe that would cost somebody. But I don't know what it takes for Democrats to lose around here.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the stolen valor thing came out. It was like a week after ballots had been sent out. There was still plenty of time for it to impact people's votes. So for that reason, I'm not counting Greg Gilday out yet. I think today is going to be a huge drop of ballots. And especially in late ballots, you'd think that Greg Gilday is doing well, given the revelations against Clyde Shavers, unless we're just hopelessly partisan. But yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know what Democrats do. I think they just let him keep the seat. There have been some thoughts that maybe they just wanted to get him in, then they'll force him to resign, and then they can choose somebody that they like better to have his seat. But I just really don't know. So we'll see if Greg Gilday can pull one out there.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It's just been amazing to watch all the hopes that one side had, and they locally and nationally, they just, but and last thing, I think the GOP in Washington state is horrible. I think the party is run horribly. I said this back in August when I didn't see any fight in them at all. I played clips of that on yesterday's show, and I'll say it again now, that Democrats will do anything, including their little phony videos with the governor and the Dem chair. The GOP, I don't see them with any fight at all in this state, and I think that's the reason they underperform here.
Yeah, but also I think they need to define themselves. I tend to agree with what a lot of national pundits are saying today, and I've felt this way for a long time. I mean, I am not for party purity by any stretch, but when you have a tent so big that you've got a Marjorie Taylor Greene all the way to a Liz Cheney, do voters really know what they're getting? And yes, the left has that issue too, and they'll have to come to terms and define themselves at some point, but I think the time for the GOP to define itself is now, and to spend the next 2 years, especially in Washington state, especially in a blue state like Washington. They need to let voters know what they're getting.
Yeah, they should have zeroed in on the state senators who were passing laws that are giving child killers a chance to get out of prison. It just all kinds of things that they should have done that they didn't. They have to have more fight. All right, Brandi Crews, patreon.com/undivided. You have any good stuff coming up there?
What's that, Dory? Can't hear you.
Brandi. Hello, Brandi. Brandi. Friday!
Oh, I'm here. Yes, always good stuff. We have a show coming up on Friday. We'll have, I think, really final election results in Washington State and go over a few of these. And also, we're going to be talking about on the show Friday, there was this poll done. Speaking of polls, I'm going to put my faith in this one because it talked about where people who get student debt forgiveness are going to spend it. I'm sure you've seen that. Maybe you've talked about it today, but it's very funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A bunch of them are going to spend it on drugs and alcohol. They say. Makes me thrilled to be taking my money for that. All right. Thanks, Brandy. Good stuff. And Brandy Cruz might be hosting this show sometime in the very near future. But we're still working out the financial details of that. All right, go check out her work at patreon.com/undivided. Text us, 888-973-CHIRO, 888-973-5476. We're going to check the news and then the big lead at 2 coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. You got skeletons.